Good afternoon, and a very, very warm welcome to church this Sunday afternoon. It's good to be here to worship our Lord and Saviour on His day as His gathered church family. Thank you for coming, and a very, very warm welcome in Jesus' name. Today, Ken is leading us in worship as he continues his journey through John's Gospel. Today's reading will be from John 16, verses 16 to 33. A sermon entitled The Lasting Joy of the Lord. Thank you, Ken, for your ministry to us. We look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid in your heart for us. Tonight, we will be continuing our online sermon series on Jonah's mission, and Colin Dow will be preaching on Jonah chapter 2, Jonah's song. Jonah sings a song is the name of the sermon. Please do get along if you can make it and join us for that service in the evening, which is followed by our prayer meeting. So please do come along. All are warmly welcomed. Next Sunday, just what I'd like to flag up, is our holiday club service and will be followed by a barbecue lunch. So please do come along. We're all invited to come and join us, God's family, share that time of fellowship and friendship together. There are these invite cards. There's still some that were out in the bulletins last week, but if you didn't get one last week, and if you want another one, or if you want more, there's some at the back, please take them away. Be praying for somebody and use the card as an invite to invite them to come along to that service. It's good to have that resource able to say, look, come along, would you? And I was thinking about it, you know, these things are not measured by the success of whether people say yes or not. They're measured by the success of whether we ask them. Because we're asking people to come along, and that has got to be a good thing. One of these days, they will. We can trust the Lord. So that's next Sunday. Please do come along to that. The Holiday and Youth Activity Week starts this Monday. It's a strenuous time. Please do be praying for us as we lead those two activities throughout the week, and pray for the young people that have signed up to come, that the Lord would speak into their hearts and they would come to know Him as their Saviour and Lord. That's the reason why we do these things. It's just to be able to preach the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ to young people. So please do be praying for us. We need the prayers of our church family to help us and encourage us through the week. So there is also a wee request for contributions of home baking if you're able to do so. Speak to Fiona MacDonald, who's not here yet. Hopefully she'll turn up before the end of the service. And we'll can ask what's required and when we need it. So without further ado, I'd leave you to read through the rest of the studies. Oh, just one sorry mistake in the bulletin. I'm sorry that that's wrong. The Dorney Bible study are also taking a break for a couple of weeks. So that both Bible studies are taking a break for the summer for a couple of weeks. Thank you, Ken.
Let's begin our worship of Almighty God as we sing from Psalm 116 on the page 154. Psalm 116, sing psalms on page 154. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. He listened when I cried to Him for aid. I'll call on Him as long as I live because He turned to hear me when I prayed. We're going to sing from verses 1 through to 9, is it? 1 to 9, first four stanzas. Let's stand and sing to God's praise together.
As long as I
Let's pray to God together now. Almighty God, thank you that we can look to heaven. We can lift our gaze to you with our hands on our hearts and say that we love you because you hear our voice when we call to you. Thank you for these promises of Scripture, Lord, that you hear us when we cry out. When we call out to the name of the Lord, you are swift to respond. And that you promise that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for this remarkable gift and privilege we have that we can pray and converse with Almighty God, our Creator. Thank you that we can know you not only as Almighty Creator, but as Father, as a loving and compassionate Father, that you are kind and full of grace, that you save our souls from death. Lord, that we might live for you as long as we have breath, that we might call on the name of the Lord as long as we shall live. Oh Lord, be with us. Be with us here and now as we're gathered in the name of Jesus Christ to worship you. Strengthen our faith and keep us firm and steadfast in you. Help us, Lord, deliver us from evil. Keep us from temptation, Lord. Strengthen our resolve. Forgive us for our sins, we pray. Give us courage to stand for you. Lord, we pray for this week ahead and we thank you for the privilege of being able to run a holiday Bible club and a youth activity week. We thank you for those who have signed up, for those who are leading and helping, for all of the effort that goes in, Lord, and the prayer. We pray for this week ahead that you might see fit to bless it and bless the preaching of your word and the sharing of Christ with so many young people. We pray this may be of eternal significance for many, for all. And that as you have worked in the past, you will work in the future. And you will work next week, we pray, for your glory here. We pray for your blessing from all our families in the church and community here. We pray especially for the family moving to Aberdeen just now. And for Rory and Patrick and Ailey, that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Your grace would go with them. Your loving kindness and mercy would surround them. And bless their new home, we pray. And Father, thank you that you are a loving God, that you are a merciful God, that you are kind. Lord, we pray your blessing upon us and all who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all who are gathered in the name of Jesus today in this land. O Lord, bless us, we pray, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Well, let's sing once more, this time from one of the shortest psalms in the Psalter, Psalm 134 in the Sing Psalms. You can find that on page 175. Psalm 134 on page 175. It may be short, but it's a wonderful psalm. Praise the Lord, all you his servants, as you serve with one accord. Praise the Lord in your night watches in the temple of the Lord. Raise your hands within his temple. To the Lord your God give praise. He who made the earth and heaven bless you from his holy place. And as it's so short, we'll sing it through twice. Do stand and let's praise God together.
Praise the Lord, all you his servants, as he serve with one accord. Praise the Lord in your night watches, in the temple of the Lord. Raise your hands within his temple, to the Lord your God give praise. He who
Do turn in your Bibles to John in chapter 16. I'm going to read the second half of that chapter. John, Gospel of John, chapter 16. And I'll begin at verse 16, which is where we finished last time a couple of weeks ago. So John 16, 16. In a little while, you will see me no more. Then after a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father'?" They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked anything for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you the truth plainly, or tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered, "but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. May God bless this reading of his word to us. Well, boys and girls, before we go out to Sunday school or to the creche, do you want to come and sit at the front for a moment? Come down here and sit with me. Come and sit here. Come and sit down, that's good. It's good to see a few more people here. Although some of you are moving away, aren't you? You won't be here. What is it? What day do you move?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Let's mind out for this. Look, sit still. Now, who says prayers to God? Do you say prayers to God? When do you say prayers to God? Can you think of a time when you say them?
When you go to bed.
That's a good idea.
When we eat.
When you eat, you say thank you for our food. Any other times?
When
we're
at Sunday school.
At Sunday school, yeah. The thing is, we can say prayers to God all the time. This is what Moses said, or God commanded, for Moses to tell the people of Israel about saying prayers to God. And he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts." And then he says this, listen, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down." So you hear that? When you sit at home, that's one. When you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. And he says, All these different times. And in Israel, sometimes even now, they have prayers for everything. Some people say a prayer when they get up, say thank God for a nice sleep. They say a prayer to say thank you for their breakfast. They say a prayer to before they go to bed, thanking God for them, what's ahead. And it's a prayer for everything. They even have a prayer for going to the toilet. It's a bit funny, isn't it? But they just thank God that their body is working properly. So it's good to be reminded all the time to say thank you. When you have a cup of tea or just a juice or something, to say thank you for this. And to remember God every moment throughout the day. Every time you open the door and sun's shining, thank you God for the sunshine. Or it's raining on the west coast anyway. It's a bit sunnier in Aberdeen, isn't it? But thank you that we have rain and that things grow. So to remember God and to ask, talk about him. And to ask questions all the time with grown-ups about God. So try and think, what prayer could I say for this and for that and for this and for that? Thank God, bless God, always remember him, everything, all the time. Let's say a prayer for you now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for the Bible. Thank you that we're instructed in the word to remember you at all times. When we go out, when we come in, when we go down the road, when all the time to give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of all our thanks and praise. We pray you'll bless the boys and girls, especially those moving away, that your hand will be with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well done. Have fun in Croatia. You're going out to Croatia. Before we come to the sermon, we're going to sing from Psalm 128. You can find that on page 172. Psalm 128 on page 172. How blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk the way that he has shown. Success and blessing will be yours. You'll eat the fruit that you have grown. We'll sing the whole short psalm together to God's praise. Do stand up to sing. Thinking today about the lasting joy of the Lord and knowing for ourselves the lasting joy of the Lord deep within us. Now we think about happiness. How can I be happy? Where is happiness to be found? What things can make us happy? What do we think
if we got would make us happy? And will we really be happy if we get those things or do those things?
We think about compulsions and appetites and things we do in the pursuit of happiness. If I get this, I'll be happy. Think about the things perhaps we buy online and order and they come and Amazon or whatever it is, and you end up thinking, did I really want this? It's not got the... It doesn't deliver, if you like, the allure, the adverts. What will make me happy? What will last? Did you get what you want for Christmas or for your birthday? You think with young kids and that sort of excitement of unwrapping presents can give you a happy feeling, especially if you get just what you wanted. And the giving of gifts can give you a warm, happy feeling inside. If you're giving something to someone you love and they love what they got. But it's all over so quick, isn't it? Before long, the floor's covered, isn't it? And you're tidying up the mess. Packaging everywhere. And getting something that you didn't want at all can make you feel quite miserable or disappointed, especially if you have to kind of pretend to be very grateful. But even the gifts that we really like, the things we really wanted, don't give us a lasting happiness. How many things do you possess or have you possessed that you thought, if I got that, then I would be happy? I'd be quite content and I wouldn't be coveting anything else because I'd have that and that would make me... And then as soon as you've got it almost, the magic's gone and there's something else on the list. How many toys break by Boxing Day? Well, the batteries run out and the shops are closed. Things just lose their luster once you've got them in your hand. The frill is gone so quickly. Like someone who buys a boat. The saying, you know, if you buy a boat, it makes you happy on 2 days. The day you buy it and the day you sell it. All the other days, it's just strife and hassle. My cousin has a horse. I think she's still... Shana. I think she's still got a horse. And her husband just shook his head and said to me, Ken, we should have just dug a hole and threw all our money in a hole in the garden. Think about Boxing Day. I can remember as a kid getting a scale Xtrix and it was a figure of eight, like that, a little bridge. And two cars just went round and round and round. After about 1,000 times round the track, it's pretty boring. And that was something I wanted so badly. Even if the toy does make us happy, what do we do when it wears out or when it breaks? Do we just replace it? It's a very fickle kind of happiness, isn't it? It just relies on a new toy or a replacement. Ah, oh, Mum, I dropped my ice cream. Boo-hoo. Here's another one. It's the kind of happiness that becomes an excuse for breakups, for divorces. People just give up. They're chucking in the towel. The thrill is gone. The zing has faded. And I'm just bored with it. I'm not getting out what I wanted. I just wasn't feeling happy anymore. So I gave up. There's no point in working for it, people think, if it's not making you happy. I need some new toys. I need to feel happy. Get me another ice cream. It's kind of a consumerist attitude to life. I need to get something out of this for me. And happiness like this is just here today and then gone tomorrow. Like dust. Like we were thinking in Psalm 90 a while back. You walk around the house and there's always somewhere, isn't there, where you find some dust. Even if you're meticulous and you're tidy, and you'll find a pelmet or a ledge or something and you run your finger. And do you know what dust is?
99% human skin, I think they say. That's you. That's you, that is. That's what happens to us. Here today, gone tomorrow. Like life, this happiness is elusive. It evades us. It's like chasing after the wind. It's like, as the Bible says, trying to grasp oil with your hand, trying to get some oil. Imagine if you didn't have pots and pans and bottles and you went to the shop to buy oil and you had to carry it home in your hands. You wouldn't have any left, would you, by the time you got home? Grasping oil with the hands. Happiness like this is dependent upon circumstances, upon toys, upon still getting your pay packet on the gravy train. But when the Bible talks about joy, it's talking about something much deeper, much richer, and much longer lasting. Something deep within yourself. And joy is not dependent upon one's circumstances, or what toys we have, what we get or what we don't get, or whether the paycheck comes in at all. We see in this second half of John 16 the joy of the Lord. And we're going to look at that under three headings as we go through the chapter. Three headings connected with the three persons, if you like, of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Firstly, the joy of the Holy Spirit's presence. And then the joy of the Father's love. And then the joy of the Son's victory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit's presence there from verse 16 to 22. In a little while, you will see me no more. Then after a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me? And because I am going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. Now Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Jesus is leaving them, and they will not see him again. Then after a little while, they will see him. I discovered in that sentence that there's two words for the word see. When he says, in a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me. There are two different kinds of seeing, two words in the original Greek language. In a little while you will see me no more, and that see is physical seeing with the eyes, physically seeing Jesus before them. In a short while, they would be literally unable to see Jesus physically with them because he would be gone. Then after a little while, you will see me. It's a different word, and it means to see, as in to understand, to grasp, to realize, to perceive. When we're confused about something and then the penny drops and we say, ah, now I see. We're not talking about physical sight now. It's a deep inner realization and understanding. So in a little while, they will see Jesus physically no more. And then after a little while, they will see, understand, perceive, realize, know deep within. So Jesus is reassuring them, as he has done in the previous verses, that when he goes to the Father, he will send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will make known to them everything that he has been telling them. Everything that belongs to Jesus, that belongs to the Father, the Holy Spirit will make known, and they will see. They will see and understand, realize, perceive. They will see all that Jesus has been teaching them when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. In verse 17, it's clear that they don't yet see Jesus in this understanding way. Though he's right before them and they see him physically, they don't yet understand. They are confused by his words. They're reticent to ask him about it. They're discussing it amongst themselves. Even though they can physically see him, they don't see, they don't realize, they don't understand. But how gracious of Jesus to answer their unasked question, displaying both his omniscience. He knows what they're talking about. He knows that they want to ask him. So he doesn't wait for them to ask him. He answers the question, displaying his all-knowing and his gracious kindness to his confused followers. Verse 20, your grief will turn to joy. The grief of Good Friday would turn to joy on Easter Sunday. Would turn to joy on the day of Pentecost. The joy of the Holy Spirit within. And just like a woman in labour, you think of those hours of pain, exhaustion, sweat, anguish, fear, that melt away, that vanish through joy that a child has been born into the world. Just so the joy that would burst out as Jesus rose from the tomb on that Sunday morning following the cross. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were just bursting with enthusiasm and boldness and joy in the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And true joy is found in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in his revealing Jesus himself to us, as we trust in his words and in his promises, as the Holy Spirit gives illumination, understanding, so that we can see, not with our eyes physically, but in our hearts, we can see and understand and realize and know, even amidst the trials and the pain and the difficulty of this life. Now that's true joy, friends, isn't it? The deep joy, the joy of the Lord, seeing Jesus with the eyes of our hearts. It can't be found. It can't be found in the world, can it? It can't be found buying stuff online. It can't be found. There's some water just here, Moira, if you want to. We can't find joy buying things online. It doesn't work. The joy of the Lord is beyond comparison. To know the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of seeing, understanding, realizing who Jesus is. Let God's Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to your soul. Ask him to open the eyes of your heart to Jesus and to fill your heart with his Spirit. That is the joy of the Holy Spirit's presence in and with every believer. God in us.
Secondly, the joy of the Father's love in verses 23 to 28. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. The Father himself loves you. Isn't that a wonderful sentence? A wonderful thing to say. The Father himself loves you. And that in that day of verse 23 is the time after the resurrection. And after Pentecost. It's now. It includes now. But Jesus' language here can sound a bit contradictory. Look there, verse 23. You will no longer ask me anything. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Are we to ask or are we not to ask? But again, a little bit of work and we find that there's two different words for ask here. If you've got a Bible commentary or a study Bible, maybe it'll highlight that for you. Two different ways, types of asking. Like we saw with the word see, there's seeing with the eyes and seeing with the heart. There's two different kinds of asking here. The first one, you will no longer ask me anything. That means to ask questions, to inquire, to gain knowledge. They will no longer need to follow Jesus around, continually asking him questions because they don't see and understand with that inner seeing. Because they will have the Holy Spirit, because we will have or do have the Holy Spirit in us, helping us to see and understand, perceive, realize, see Jesus himself with the eyes of our hearts. And because we have the scriptures completed now that the Holy Spirit illumines to us, we don't need to be following Jesus around inquiring in that kind of asking way. The Holy Spirit helps us to see and understand Jesus himself. The second asking, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is asking as in petition, asking for something in prayer, praying for things, praying for help, praying for strength, praying for forgiveness, praying for missions. To pray to the Father in Jesus' name is to pray for the things that Jesus wants, to pray for the things that will glorify Jesus. It's nonsense to pray for toys, isn't it? If you saw me praying on my knees for 3 hours solid, you might think Ken's a really holy guy. Look at him praying on his knees for 3 hours solid. But if I told you I was praying for a brand new shiny motorbike, or a new pickup truck before they stop manufacturing them and we all go electric. If I told you I was praying for those things in Jesus' name, you wouldn't think I was quite so holy, would you? You'd think I was wrong to be doing that. That's selfish. That's self-centered. That's praying for your own toys. And you'd be right to think that. We're not to be praying for our own toys. We're to pray for his work in this world, for his glory to be revealed, his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Toys won't bring the lasting joy, deep joy within. Jesus Christ does. You think of the joy of all the angels in heaven when one sinner repents. That's a lasting joy. That's real joy.
And he will lay the things on our hearts that we need to be praying for. And as we pray for them in Jesus' name, we become more and more involved in what God is doing, in God's mission in this world. And seeing prayers answered that we pray in Jesus' name is the cause of much deep joy. Verse 24, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Show me a Christian who's seeing lots of answers to prayer, and I'll show you a joyful person. A Christ-centered person who's full of the joy of the Lord, praying for things in the name of the Lord, and seeing answers to prayer. Show me a miserable Christian, and I'll show you a Christian who maybe takes little time to pray, or who just prays for toys for himself, or selfish things. A self-centered person, not a Christ-centered person. One is joyful, the other is not. Joy is knowing that the Father loves us and delights in answering prayers. Psalm 116 we sang at the beginning. This is from the New American Standard version of it, of that translation of that psalm. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. Because he has inclined his ear to me, I will call upon him as long as I live. Friends, isn't prayer brilliant? Isn't that a privilege to be able to talk and know that Almighty God is cupping his ear and listening to you like a compassionate, loving father? I love the Lord because he hears my cry for mercy. Because he has inclined his ear to me, I will call upon him as long as I live. That's the joy of knowing the Father's love. Thirdly, the joy in the Son's victory. Verses 29 to 33. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you have come from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus proves his deity to them there in verse 30 by knowing and answering the question that they didn't ask. And they believe at last. And Jesus, the God-man, he has overcome the world. The victory of the cross, Christ has overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world, Jesus says. And as the overcomer, he brings peace. Peace at the end of a conflict, because he's won the conflict and the enemy is done for. That's peace through victory. Not some kind of muddled, negotiated, compromised peace. A complete victory and a complete peace. The battle is won. He has the victory and the peace that we can now have in our hearts during the... What is now is just mopping up, isn't it? The victory's won at the cross. Until the final day of judgment is just mopping up that victory being driven home. And peace. Peace is found in Christ alone. Peace comes after the conflict is over. And Christ is the victor, the only victor, the only bringer of peace, because he has overcome the world. And we will have trouble in the world, he says, but it's for a little while, it's temporal. We will have peace and we will have joy in Christ, and that's forever, that's eternal. This life isn't a picnic, is it? It has its moments. This life is described as a battle, as a fight, as a race, as a trial, as an ordeal. We know pain. We know sorrow. We know grief. We know loss. But like the anguish of childbirth, it will be over. And the more focused we are on Jesus now, the more we will see that with our understanding, that realizing and that knowing within the eyes of our hearts, the more we will see Jesus as the Holy Spirit gives that revelation within. The more we will know the deep joy of the Lord. That joy that's not dependent on circumstances. Joy that rides the storm and persists. That joy in the Lord, in our hearts and in our lives. That Jesus Christ is real and true. It's not something someone made up. Our salvation is real and true, and it is forever. The more we can focus, meditate, concentrate on these things, rather than the toys in this world, the more we can ponder, the more we can look to Jesus, the more we will know that deep joy of the Lord overflowing in our lives, rather than being distracted by the temporal temptations of the world. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us bow our heads. Help us, O Lord, not to be those who live our lives chasing after toys. Help us, Lord, to grow up, to be fully mature in Christ. Help us, Lord, to put ourselves in the way of God more and more. Give us your joy in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Give us your joy in the love of you, our Heavenly Father. And give us your joy, we pray, in the victory of the Son, Jesus Christ. Through his name we ask it. Amen. Let's draw our time of worship to a close as we sing from the words of the hymn on the reverse of your bulletin sheet. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Do stand and let's sing this hymn together.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? O light in the darkness you see. Thank you.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. God bless us all.